All right, so if you have your Bibles, please open them up to Luke chapter 10. I'm going to prep you ahead of time. God willing, we'll be in two places, Luke chapter 10 as well as Philippians chapter 4. We're going to start off, though, in Luke chapter 10. And if you've ever battled with anxiety and depression like I have, then you really need this passage. Okay, because, and truth be told, that seems to be most of us, but some of us seem to suffer from it more than others. And God willing, we're going to be able to see something today that I believe is the Bible's top place in, you know, in the Word. But the best thing to be able to help you and really the world with anxiety. And so we'll look at that here. We're going to start off, though, in Luke chapter 10, starting at verse 38. Please stand with me if you're able to. And Josh, I know we're live streaming now. I'm probably going to be referring to the whiteboard in a little bit. We'll see. But Luke chapter 10, it says here, starting at verse 38, Luke 10, verse 38. Now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me." And Jesus answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things." Verse 42, "But one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken away from her." Father in heaven, oh Lord, again, we petition you, we come to you. Many of us, we feel like Marthas. I know I could easily get distracted, especially the closer I get to you, the more my flesh is wanting to go and do things my own way. And Lord, that's not my spirit within. My spirit is now born anew. I'm now alive within. We are as born again, spirit-filled children. And your spirit is trying to get us to stay, to remain at the feet of Jesus, to be worshipers, to not be worriers, and to not get distracted, and to develop the ability to simply say no to those things that distract us away from you. So train us, God, and equip us today. Help us to see what your scriptures say about the solution for these problems that we face every day. Help us, we ask, in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Thank you. You guys could have a seat if you would. I love this quote from Chuck Swindoll. He says, "What comes from the Lord, because it is impossible for humans to manufacture it, wisdom. What comes from humans, because it is impossible for the Lord to experience it, worry. And what is it that brings wisdom and dispels worry? Worship." Again, Chuck Swindoll, Charles Swindoll, we call him Chuck Swindoll. But this is so true. And you and I need to remember as we slowly go through this passage in this mini-series, I'm simply calling this worship, what you and I need to do. We need to do this one main thing. I didn't write the book. Don't crucify me for it. But especially for the Christian, the child of God, if you're a born-again Christian, you believe you're a sinner, that Christ Jesus died on the cross. He's your Messiah. He's your Savior that died on the cross for your sins. And you've turned away from that old life. You've repented, like the Bible says. And now what? Now you want this new life. You want to follow him and learn his way. Everything's totally new. If that's you, and you're a born-again Christian, then guess what? You have one main need in life. You know this. Especially the more you read and study the Word of God, the more you apply it, the more you stay in prayer, hey, this might be one of the most important learnings that you have. And as we go through this mini-series, I even said this last week, these, not just last week's, even especially today, as you go drill down even further, these might be the most important teachings you will ever learn as a Christian. Because if you don't get this right, you ain't going to get everything else right. But if you do focus on your life's one main need, as depicted by Mary, sitting, staying, remaining at the feet of Jesus in order to hear his words, you get that right, well, praise be to God. He'll help you get everything else right. But how many of us know, if I stop fellowshipping with the Lord, everything else kind of goes to hell. Anybody else know that? Okay, we got a couple of real people here. Okay, that's what happens for all of us, right? And so you need to focus on your life's one main need. What is that, basically? Remaining at the feet of the Lord and hearing from him. These are some of the reasons why I believe, and only by the grace of God, being even a songwriter and fellow worshiper, why you see and hear of a lot of Christian songs are about that Chris Tomlin song, right, bowing down at the feet of Jesus, written from Revelation. Right, we bow down, we lay our crowns at the feet of Jesus. Or Revelation song. I won't sing that one. Susan sings that one much better. These are songs that speak of us being in the Lord's presence, bowing down at his feet, not just then in eternity when I'm dead and out of this shell of a body, but now. You need to choose to love him now. That's the test, Christian. Will you choose to worship and obey him now? In other words, is he Lord or are you Lord? Is he your God or are you God? So many of us, we come to Christ, maybe it was through bad doctrine. And we learned a little bit, but then we got led astray. And now we're starting to worship self. That's exactly what the devil wants. Don't get distracted. So for those of us who know and try to spend enough quality time at the Lord's feet, hey, maybe I could say it this way. Sometimes life just throws you a curveball. Sometimes, as we might say, life happens. Stuff happens. And you can get distracted. Things that are unplanned, they can happen. They happen to all of us. Has that happened to any of you? Like huge things. You feel like you've almost derailed you, but through God's eternal lens as he looks at you, it's simply a test. You know that, right? It's simply a test. This is a test. It's only a test. That's it. It's just a test. But guys, sometimes anxiety, sometimes worry, seem to get the best of us. And if you're like how I used to be, praise God. I give honor, praise, and glory to God. He helped me. He healed me. Still is. And he showed me his word of truth. He helped me to apply it. And these are the ways out of that. If that was you, and you had things like anxiety and worry derail you or get the best of you, it could lead to what? Depression. And that was me. I used to describe it as like this deep, dark cave I felt like I was in. And sometimes it was messy with my hearing and your brain gets kind of messed up. And it's like I'm in this deep, dark cave and everybody else is outside. Hello, are you in there, Drew? Well, God will go into that cave, right? Remember in 1 Kings we studied that, like with Elijah the prophet? Elijah, what are you doing here? And he calls you out to come out of that cave of depression. He did that with me. And he could do that with you. This is something you and I need to know. So here's what God says about anxiety. Proverbs 12, verse 25. Good Lord, the whole world needs to know this, including especially the psychological world, because they know if you don't treat anxiety, it will lead to what? Depression. But they don't give praise, honor, and glory to God who created the human being and who wrote this in his word, and he upholds this principle. You can't fight against this. You need to know or you won't grow. Anxiety in the heart causes depression. Notice the way out, but a good word makes it glad. Ain't no better word than the word of God, amen? Church, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, lift up your sword. This is the sword of the Spirit. This is the word of truth. This is the best word you're going to have. Sometimes I get even messed up in my mind, like even watching Fox, it's like, okay, I get it, you're a conservative news place, but sometimes it's like, it's gossip, you know, it gets too political. I gotta scrub that. Why? Because all I'm getting is bad news sometimes. Oh, I come to the Lord and I get what? Good news. That's the gospel. Good news. So you come to the Lord and he wants to give you his good word. So God says that anxiety in the heart causes depression. So if you feel that you've let anxiety get the best of you, perhaps, and although you want to be like Mary, although you want to spend time at his feet and dwell in his presence, but sometimes anxiety gets the best of you and you fall into depression, maybe you're going to find yourself being a little bit like Martha. You get bitter, but you want to get better. I don't know what's going on, God. I'm your child. You fill me with your spirit. You give me spiritual gifting. I cry out to you in the name of Jesus. Father, help me. Empower me through your spirit. Won't you help me? I kind of feel like that Beatles song, help, need somebody. And you feel like crying out and screaming out to God. Have you ever been there? I've been there plenty of times. You need to have hope, and you need to know that God's listening. And he wants to use, let me have you hear this again. He wants to use anxiety, that you can use anxiety and no longer be used by anxiety. And we're going to show you how today, God willing. So if you let the anxiety get the best of you, you want to be like that Mary. Who here wants to be like Mary at his feet? You want to worship him. You don't want to be a worrier. You want to be a worshiper. Or you can say it like this. You want to be that warrior for the Lord, not a worrier. But you find maybe you're snapping at people. You get bitter. You want God's grace. I want your grace to flow. There's a song, Grace Flows. But ain't no living water. It feels like it's just bitter, dead, and dry. Anybody feel like that? And you're crying out to God. You're like, I don't know what's wrong with me. You say in John 7, anyone thirsts, come to you. If anyone that believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. I get dead stuff. I want rivers flowing out of my heart, out of my innermost being. Don't give up. I'm going to show you something in the scriptures that probably may have read, but you didn't know how to apply. So if that's what it's like, and it feels like it's maybe death, darkness, dryness flowing out, but not living water, maybe that's you. If so, I want to show you the number one biblical solution to handle anxiety. And guess what, guys? It's free. It costs Christ everything, but it's free. The only therapeuo is the Greek word, also translated into English many times is healing. So the best therapist to give you therapeuo or therapy is free. Forget the paying $50, $100 an hour. You can if you want. You're going to waste your money, many times waste your time. But you can go to Jesus and he will pour out. So here's how you can use anxiety in your life and no longer be used by anxiety. Let me just throw this out there. Now we're talking about staying in his presence, right? We want to be like Mary at his feet. We've exposited this whole passage. I even dug into the original Greek language and showed you a lot of the Greek or these nuggets that are there. Wow, look at what it says. You know, Mary had to remain at his feet. She continued to hear his word. That's the verbiage in verse 39. Verse 42, one thing is needed. Mary has chosen. We looked at that. Mary had to force Mary. Jesus didn't say, get down there. Come on, worship me. He's not going to do that. He's not going to force anybody into heaven. And he's not going to force you to follow him. Guess who has to choose to love, choose to worship? Point, Christian, who has to choose? You. Will you? But what happens when you choose to worship God by sitting at his feet and hearing his words? One thing that we can say, and we say this from this pulpit, you guys that know me have been here for a while, you know that we want to point you to biblical healing. Amen? Okay? Jesus can heal your heart. You could read about that later on in Isaiah 61. When Christ first came, Luke records, at the start of his earthly ministry, he went in the synagogue, as was his fashion. They unrolled the scroll. They're reading in Isaiah 61, because that's where they were in the scriptures. Roll the scrolls back up. And what did Jesus say? Today, this has been fulfilled in your hearing. They're like gracious words were flowing from his mouth. And he's reading this. That the Father has sent him to heal the brokenhearted. Not just a physical healing. He came to heal the brokenhearted. And we forget that many times as Christians. There's a healing that can occur within our hearts, emotional healing. And if you grew up in America, like I grew up without a dad around, and that messed me up really bad, really, really bad. I thought I was a good kid, but I'd get in trouble. I remember even my earthly dad, be careful when you call your kids nicknames. Make sure they're sweet or cute. I remember my dad, you know, on birth certificate, it was Andrew. You grow up, your friends call you Drew, and that's what stuck for me. But he used to call me Butch. And if anybody watched Little Rascals, Butch, he's a troublemaker, right? So I remember as a little kid asking him, like, why do you call me Butch? That's not my name. I actually asked him that. He was, like, kind of gruff. He's like, because you always get in trouble. I mean, I thought I was a good kid. But the problem with that lie is I started to believe in that. So again, be careful how you raise your kids, especially if you're going to lie or tease or tell them lying bad names like that. So I grew up thinking, oh, I'm a troublemaker. At least that's what my dad, my earthly father thought. My heavenly father says what? I love you. I sent my only begotten son to die for your sins, including that sin that your dad did to you. But growing up with all that pain, that torture, that torment, I started hanging out with the wrong crowd. Not because he said that, but because I didn't have parental figures around for a lot of my life growing up. A lot of people don't know that. So my mom, when he left, my dad left when I was about 2 or 3 years old. It was me and my sister. My mom was left with this huge bill. We had a huge house in Orange County, California. And let's see, it was 5 bedrooms, 2 stories, 2-car garage, 3 bathrooms, big place in the suburbs. So he bailed, and my mom was left with the bills, so she had to go to work as a good mom. So she had to try to be mom and dad. And some of you guys, you know, it's tough, right? So she went, and she's always at work. And what that meant for me growing up as a kid is I didn't have parents around or too many good parental supervision, let me say. So when I was growing up, I would go to the babysitter down the street, like 10 houses down the street. Hawaiian babysitter, sweet family, sweet, super sweet family. They had like too much grace. They'd go do what you want. Basically is how it was. My mom just wanted a place for us to kind of plop down after school. But the problem was though, they had kids that were a lot older. And you know, if you were a little kid hanging out with a lot older kids, sometimes you could be a nice little kid, but they can get you in trouble. So I remember smoking stuff, drinking stuff way before, like, I've turned double digit in age. And it shouldn't have been like that. So just getting in trouble. We'd, like, walk around. I remember with my friends, hey, what is that? Can we smoke it? It's just, like, dumb stuff. Because we didn't have parents around, like, slapping our hands, saying, that's stupid. Don't do that. You know, and it just went on and on. So I had a lot of healing that I had to go through. Still do. And that might be someone here. Okay, if so, God wants to give you the solution. Let's turn to Philippians 4, can we? So what will happen if you choose to be like Mary to sit at his feet? I think one of the most beautiful things, there's a lot of things. The Bible says, in his presence is fullness of joy. You're going to have fruit of the Spirit, his agape love. You receive his love, you're a recipient. Not just through Christ. He continues to want to pour out his love, his grace, his mercy. You're going to have the fruit of the Spirit pouring through your life. But one of the most beautiful things is, hey, you need this grace for living. And one way you can describe it is found here in Philippians 4. Look at this in Philippians 4, verse 6. If you struggled with anxiety or depression, you must know this. Because you have the solution, Christian. And you have access to the Father through Christ Jesus. And the Spirit of God wants to empower you. And I'll tell you, if you find this out and you apply it, it's like your walk with Christ, zing, it'll just start really growing and maturing. And it won't be like what I find a lot of times in America, the Christian walk one step forward, 2 steps back. 1 step forward, 1 step back. 2 steps forward, 1 step back. It's like back and forth, right? Why? Because we're not getting discipled. We're not learning his word in context and applying it. So here's what he says, Philippians 4, verse 6. First off, be anxious for nothing. So maybe you're like me. I remember first reading and studying and pausing, pondering on this scripture, going, when I think about anxiety, it gets me anxious. Is that any of you guys? It's kind of weird how that is. But he says, be anxious for nothing. Verse 6. But, so what are you to do with this anxiety? But in everything, he says, by prayer and supplication. Now, when those two are together, another way you can look at this word for prayer, we looked at this earlier in another passage, in another study. This word for prayer can also mean worship. Think of, again, of Mary at the feet of Jesus. But in all things, by prayer and supplication. Supplication, that's a type of prayer, typically, where you're petitioning God, asking Him to supply for your needs. Supplication. We also call that prayer requests. Many times our prayer requests are actually supplications. Nothing wrong with that. We need to ask God to supply. Amen? He's a loving Heavenly Father. He's going to protect. He'll provide. So we ask Him. So what are you to do with your anxiety? It says, in everything by prayer and supplication. So you got needs. That's why you're stressing out, right? Many of us, it is. I got to pay the bills or whatever. Oh, I got to take my kid to the dentist. Whatever those things are. You need to take those anxieties to the Lord. And here's a key in the battle against anxiety and depression. Notice it says something. In English, it's the word with. En español, con, right? Con gracia, is that what you say? With thanksgiving? There's a huge difference between the person that prays and just like, God, you know the stuff I'm in. What's wrong with you? What are you taking so long? And, oh, Lord, you know my situation. I believe you. I believe what your word says. You know what I'm going to ask even before the word is formed on my lips. You know everything. I can't school you. You can't learn. There's nothing that you're going to learn. Everything was known by you, even including me praying today in Queens, New York City, this day in 2024. You knew this before you created the planets and the earth, before Genesis 1. You knew all this. So what am I going to do? I can't school you, but you still want me to bring the stuff to you, my achy heart. Help me, Lord. Notice he says, with thanksgiving. This can radically shape and change and transform your thoughts, your walk, your prayer life, so you could be more like Christ. So how many of us, we want to be more like Jesus, but our words and our walk, they didn't look like Jesus, right? Maybe he needs to transform your prayer life with thanksgiving, con gracia. Lord, you know the stuff that's really burdening me and bothering me, this anxiety that's really filling my heart. I need to be thankful. So having an attitude of gratitude, that alone can totally change your prayer life. Especially if you're dwelling in his presence, you're praying, you're sitting at his feet, you're worshiping him. How many of us know he'll change even your request that you were going to pray for? There's many times I'll be like that. God, I was going to ask you some stuff, but I now see, just like Isaiah chapter 6, I see and I sense your holiness. And I was going to ask something that was really selfish. Forget that prayer request. Thank you, Lord. Let me just dwell in your presence. Oh, and then the healing tears might come out. Lord, heal me, cleanse me. You say in 1 John 1:9, if I confess my sins, he is, or you are, Lord, faithful and just to forgive us, what? Our sins. There's a confession, then forgiveness, then cleansing. We forget the conjunction that's there. And to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You ever think about this, that when you're praying, that you need to stay in his presence and not just say, oh, it's all done, lickety-split, I got to go. Remain in his presence. Allow him to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Many times we forget that, especially if you're like an action-oriented, get-up-and-go-do kind of person. You just want to get it done. One and done, boom. You got the rest. You got my back, God. But he might want to cleanse you from that unrighteousness. And in 1 John 1:7, we talked about this earlier. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship. It's vertical, not with other people. Fellowship with him. We have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus cleanses us. We forget that as I fellowship with them. Remain in his presence. Confess my sins. I'm going to have sin. Why? He's holy. 1 John 1:5 says, God is light, in him there is no darkness at all. So I got to walk in the light as he is in the light. What does that mean? I need to come out of the darkness, confess that sin, leave it behind. And now I can have true fellowship vertically with him. And now what happens? Remain in his presence. There's a healing, there's a cleansing. And this is what happens. So as you pray to him, Philippians 4 verse 6, take your anxiety, your worries, your woes, your frustrations. Yes, he knows that you live in a fallen world. Yes, he knows that this sin and this world is just plagued with sin. And guess what? He knows you cannot handle sin. And that's why his son had to come, to die for your sin and mine, die for the sin of the world. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, he says, con gracia, or with thanksgiving. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Not just, God, I need to school you, because I know you see everything, but I think you're kind of blind. Didn't you see this? I've been there before. That might be the first prayer. The second was, oh, I repent, Lord, I feel so stupid. Let him change and transform you. Notice what he promises as you go on. This is God's prescribed solution for anxiety. You need to know this. This works. This works for me. Past tense has worked for me and many Christians, not just us today, throughout the centuries, since God had Paul write this. Notice what he promises, verse 7. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard, it says, your hearts and minds. Notice what it says, through Christ Jesus. You cannot access the peace of God unless you get it through the Father and the Son. You have to be a born-again Christian because it's the peace of God that passes all understanding. You can't figure it out. And this peace, the peace of God. And so first, every person has to make peace with God. Amen? You make peace with God through the cross of Christ. And after the person accepts Christ Jesus as their Messiah, their Savior, who died for all their sins, repents from those sins, now he gives you a new life, and it's in Christ. And now you have access to the peace of God. But until then, the Bible describes that we were at enmity. Imagine two bulls or two grown male sheep just butting heads, ramming each other. We were at enmity. We were fighting God. All of us were. Can anybody here confess that? We're fighting God. We're at enmity with God. We didn't have peace. And then you made peace with God through the cross of Christ, and the blood of Jesus that was shed to die, cleanse. He died and cleansed you from your sins. And then what happens? Now you have access to the peace of God. Very different. So you want to help people get saved? Remember, it's the gospel of peace. They see peace in your life, and that's part of the good news of salvation. They see what you have, and they ain't got. Let people see the Spirit like living water flow through your life, and they'll desire that because it's foreign to this world. How many of us know that? The peace of God is very foreign. Allow him to work through your life. And this is one of the ways how. Because as a non-Christian goes through stuff and a Christian goes through the same stuff, they're going to look at your life and go, I'm freaking out in my flesh, and you're just like cruising with the Lord like a water skiing on the water. What's going on? Aren't you praying that God will get rid of that? He'd deliver you from that storm? Well, he gives me peace through the storm. That's the walk of a Christian. Don't listen to, there's like a lot of fake people out there. You got to pray, it'll go. In Jesus' name. It ain't going. That's not biblical. That's actually radical heresy. It doesn't work. It didn't work for Jesus. Remember in the garden? He prayed the same prayer three times. Father, if this, and I'm paraphrasing it, if this cup should pass from me, if I don't have to partake, if I don't have to be crucified and nailed for their sins, let it pass. Nevertheless, not my will, but what? Your will be done. Okay, so prayer is for you to wrestle down your will to take on God's will. So even Jesus was heard, but it wasn't answered. And some of us might go, wait, the faith healer guys, they say that you got to pray in Jesus' name. Maybe Jesus didn't pray in Jesus' name. No, that's not it. You got to know the will of God by knowing the word of God. And so just go into his presence, confess your sins. Notice it says here too, the peace of God, it says, surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and mind, and it's through Christ Jesus. You need to know this. Someone here today needs to know this. Maybe you guys online or watching or listening later on, you need to know this. Come to the Lord with your anxieties, with your worries. You need to. Please remember this passage. I didn't write it, but I know the author. He's helped me and healed me, and we share this with so many people. I remember when the pandemic, fake pandemic happened, March 2020, right away, I remember talking with some of the folks here, I know right away what's going to happen. A lot of people are going to go into depression. And so we went online through Zoom, and we started immediately just teaching people daily about the peace of God. Why? Because we just knew. You get out there, they're closing down everything else. They open up liquor stores and pot shops. Like, that's the government solution. So guess what's going to happen? They're going to go into depression. And guess what did happen? You hear of kids and adults like committing suicide and all. Why? Because they didn't have access to the peace of God. That's basically it. So what do you and I need to do? We need to have access to the peace of God, and it's through Christ Jesus. Allow his peace, as he says, to guard your heart and your mind, and it's through Christ Jesus. So take out your paper. So Josh, we're going to keep going a little more here. What this is something that I was, let me just be a little honest and direct with you guys. After going through this so many times with individuals and small groups and many people, both coasts pretty much, started to go, well, this is something that we repeat over and over, and it's just basically there. I would have people get out a piece of paper after going through what we just taught through right now, Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7. You have access to the peace of God, will guard your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. And then people contact me later on, like 5 minutes later, I'm freaking out in my flesh. 5 minutes later, after worshiping like Mary at his feet, now I'm like Martha. The day later, a week later, it's like, what's wrong with me? Nah, maybe I should give up this Christianity. Has that ever felt like any of you? It's like, I see the scriptural solution, I'm doing it, but it ain't working. Well, verse 8, the very next verse, you need to know this. This is why I titled this. This is basically, how do you attain the peace of God? We just read about that, Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7. It's through Christ Jesus, amen? As you bring anxieties to him. Now, how do I maintain the peace of God? Well, first of all, you can't do it. But he does tell you a scriptural solution, and this is his prescription for you. Look at verse 8. Finally, brethren. How do you know, Drew, that this is a prescription? Because he says, finally. Okay? He wants you to do this in successive events. Excuse me. That you got to go through this. Can someone give me a water? Sorry, sometimes you're talking so much, your voice kind of gets dry. Things out. So look at this. I just call the 7 simple steps to attain and maintain God's peace in your life. It's just taking what we just went through, right? In Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Do the things that are stated here. Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. You can go through that. The core of it, verse 6, okay, bring your anxiety to him. And he's going to exchange an anxious heart for a peaceful heart. You know this. If you spend any time in the Lord's presence, praying with him, worshiping him, reading his word, spending time that you might hear from him, you know this. Who here knows this? He's going to take anxiety and turn it into peace. Do you know he's trying to speak to you? He's trying to train you. Feed on his faithfulness, it says in Psalm 37. He'll prove himself faithful. He's feeding you for the next time. Like, you know, you never let me down. And all of the world's creation, all the billions and billions and billions, or maybe trillions of people, you never let a single human being down. You're not going to start with me. You're not going to change your word. Your word stands forever. I'm going to die and your word will stand. So I need to conform my life and do what you say in your word. So notice it says, finally. So at the end of getting through this, and you have this peace of God that passes all understanding, you can't figure it out, that peace will guard your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. Look at this in verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are, pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, and if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Again, this is not Eastern meditation like, no, worship the Gaia, the world. No, that's not, definitely not that at all. Thinking on, that's the word for meditate, and I put that in here in the footnotes. Verse 9, the things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. So once you've got God's peace in your life, because again, you're like Mary, worshiping him, remaining at his feet, You're exchanging your anxiety, and he gives you his peace, and you can't figure out how it happened. He's just training you for tomorrow by blessing you today. Because tomorrow you're going to freak out. What do you need to do? Keep coming to him with a thankful heart, and he'll give you peace. So now what? How do I maintain that? It might be what you're filling with your, you know, filling your head and your thoughts after that. So finally, brethren, whatever things are true, what are some things that are true? God's word. That's good. Okay. So whatever's true, maybe it's God's word. Okay. That's something you need to think of. So think of the antithetical opposite that's going to get you to be Martha. That'll get you to be the worrier. That'll get God's peace to just like, what happened? I'm like in chaos now. And that was just 5 minutes ago and I was praying and worshiping you. I'm like, Lord, I lift your name on high. And I'm like, oh, I feel like I want to beat someone up. What's going on with my flesh? I mean, you know, I don't get like that. But I'm just saying that you can go that polar opposite. What is that? You need... So maybe it's that you're focusing on things that are lies. Maybe it's like how I was as a kid. I had to learn to be healed by my heavenly father because my earthly father lied to me. And I had to come to grips with that. Oh, no, he never lied. No, he did. And maybe you need to come to grips with that. I don't know. That's between you and the Lord. But focus on what's true. You can make a whole list. That's why we want to give you that paper. I developed this because I started going through Philippians 4, verse 8 with people, having to take out a piece of paper and just write this. I'm like, you know what? I need to just type this up and give it out to people. So hopefully this is a blessing to someone here. So write on your paper, what are things that are true? How about things that are noble? And we put synonyms here. Okay, these come from Bible dictionaries. Noble, things that are honest, things that are honorable. What's something noble or honest or honorable? I heard someone say something. What's that? Worship. Okay. Worship. You could think of worship or being that worshiper. Okay, something honest. And really, you can't point to any human being, right? Yeah. You could just go through Jesus, 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 right? He's a solution. Let's put Jesus. He's noble. Like, yeah, forget that. Let's just think of Jesus. Exactly. Okay. So what else is, what's just or right or holy or righteous? Jesus, okay. Not that judge that's on my case. Okay, so maybe you're getting negative and cranky and more like Martha and not worship, but worry. Okay? Anxiety, which leads to depression. This can help you. What's pure? Jesus. What else? What's something that's pure? God's word. The word of God is pure. Living water, okay, good. God's word, living water, which is synonymous of, according to John 7's Holy Spirit. God's love is pure, good. All right. Holy Spirit, okay. Good. So you got your list. You guys make your own list. Okay, just match it up with the word of God. Lovely, what's lovely? Jesus. Just my wife back there. Jesus. Yeah. She's like, it's lovely if you stop right now. Okay. Literally, these are things that are friendly towards, pleasing, agreeable, acceptable to God. What's lovely to God? What's lovely to you might not be lovely to God, but what's lovely to God? Marriage? Marriage, okay, could be, yes. I heard another... being submissive, okay. Being submissive, serving, humble spirit, okay. Good. So you guys, like, I can't think of anything. You can write these things down on your paper. And when you feel like you're freaking out in the flesh, you can do that. Go through the steps. Go back to Philippians 4. Is this really his prescribed solution? Yes. Obedience, okay, being submissive, put a parenthetical here. Obedience. Okay, what else did we get? Did we get something else here? Was that good enough? What's that? Diligent. Being diligent. Diligent. Okay, diligence. Forgiveness. Good. You see, you guys are opening up now. Forgiveness. What's that? Prayer. Prayerful. Being prayerful. Okay. See, these are things that'll instead of letting the Martha worries of the world distract you, these are things that can get you back to focusing on the Lord and His Word, and His faithfulness, right? But you'll have your own list. Of good report. What's of good report? What's that? Shepherds of the flock. Okay, I guess. Shepherds of the flock. At least the good shepherd. We'll put that down. Good shepherd. By the way, you could fill this in, yes, with Jesus or the Bible. For everything, right? These guys were described, well, these. Okay. Anything else? A good report. God's Word, obviously, right? Okay, how about the next one? Any virtue synonymous with moral goodness, excellence. That's hard to find in the world today. Humility. Okay, humility, good. Yeah, humility is trashed in society, even goofed on by worldly movies even, but it's praised with God. God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Okay, any virtue, anything praiseworthy? That's my wife again. Jesus! What's praiseworthy? Perseverance. Okay. That could be commended. It's a commendable thing. Perseverance. Has it E-A-N-C-E? Jesus. All right. Anything praiseworthy? What are things that are praiseworthy? Again, anybody watch the news and then you're shocked because they're actually giving you some positive report or something? Does that ever shock you? Why? That lets you know that one thing sticks out because everything they're giving you is predominantly negative, right? So be careful of the bad news. Many of us, we pay for that garbage coming into our homes too. So he says to meditate or dwell on. And again, it's not Easter meditation. You're not sitting there like, oh. I remember taking martial arts when I was young. I think it was Aikido. And the instructor's like, think of nothing. And me and some of the guys are like, I can't think of nothing. I'm thinking of your voice telling me think of nothing. Doesn't work. There are physiological benefits of some of those things. You're just, go outside, breathe some fresh air, deep in, hold it, deep out, deep in, deep out. That's one way I was able to get rid of smoking habit too. A lot of smokers are like, I gotta go outside. I gotta get some cigarettes. Ooh, I feel lightheaded. That's because you breathe in that little tube and you're depriving oxygen, right? So you can like mess up your brain. So meditate. So think on these things. So there's a list. Come up with your own list. Okay, and again, step one, do the things in Philippians 4, 4 through 7. And now that you have access to the peace of God that passes understanding, His peace that will guard your heart and mind through Christ Jesus, make a list of these things in verse 8. He says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, noble, just, pure, lovely, a good report, anything, any virtue, anything praiseworthy, meditate or think on those things. This is how you can maintain, so to speak, God's peace in your life. Okay? And it's not like some weird magical formula. He's saying it might be the thoughts that you're allowing. Remember, Martha, she, even in the Greek verbiage, she allowed the distractions. So she could have said no, okay, is what he's getting at. It's her fault. And she's blaming Jesus and blaming her sister, right? So that'll be like us. We'll get bitter instead of God allowing you to get better. So be careful of that. So these negative things can come in to distract you. So God's actually giving you a scriptural solution here to deal with anxiety. Because if you don't deal with anxiety, anxiety in the heart leads to depression. Anybody been there? These are ways that you need to help yourself, diagnose yourself, help others, and then preach this to the world. It's already there in people's Bibles. All right, we're going to close here with a word of prayer. We're kind of out of our time here. My wife's funny back there. Jesus! Yes, he's the solution for everything. You can answer this with Jesus in the Bible for everything here. Can we all stand, please? I'm hoping this can conclude our, not just our study for today, also this mini-series that we're going through in worship. So some of the effects or outcomes that you should expect. You're going to hear from the Lord. We looked at that last week. You need to be able to learn to discern those various voices that you're going to hear. Like, what's of God, what's me, and what's, you know, spirit of the enemy. And also, what happens when we dwell in God's presence? If I do that one main thing as a Christian, it's not your job, it's not your education, it's not even your family, your marriage, or anything else, or anybody else. The main thing that you need to focus on is being like Mary at his feet. Take that anxiety to him. He's going to replace an anxious heart with a peaceful heart. And that's what we all need. Amen. Father in heaven, thank you for what you show us as a scriptural solution here, God. I know you've used this in my life probably dozens of times, Lord. I remember when you moved me out here, that temptation to go into deep, dark depression and just reading this passage over and over and crying out to you, oh, you rescued me, Lord. And you want to do that with each and every one of us. So help us, Lord. Even as you say in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, you're the Father of mercies. You're the God of all comfort. You want to comfort us so that we can learn to apply things like this as we look to you. And you send the Spirit, the Comforter, to give us comfort, to help us to heal. And it's just so that we can share these things and shout them out to the world. So please open up our heart and understanding of this. Help us to apply these things for our own lives, our own walks, our own marriages, our own families, and help us to preach these things, to share your scriptures with the world, Lord. And Lord, we do ask that you please would help us and equip us for the ministry we're about to do. That, Lord, if you're willing, that we can just represent you on the streets, on the sidewalks here. Empower us, equip us, and protect us, God, for your glory and yours alone. We pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen.